And now bring to this broadcast table David James. And David and I are going to have our weekly conversation focused on the Oracle, the Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled, a brand new book by Jonathan Kahn. As we get ready to talk with David, we catch him in Uganda as he's on his way back home from a couple of weeks of ministry there. David, how did the ministry go?
Well, I've had a really great time here in Uganda, Jimmy. It's been really intense. I had the equivalent of 42 50-minute class hours in just 8 days with no breaks in between. And I was teaching current theological issues to 20 undergrad students of the National Theological College and Graduate School that meets on the Word of Life campus here in Uganda. And as soon as we end our conversation today, I've got a 30-hour door-to-door trip ahead of me heading back home for a few weeks. That includes 3 flights, with 2 of them being over 8 hours each. But, you know, honestly, it's worth it. Every one of these students is already in ministry. And just as one example, one of our students who is a pastor is responsible for 5 different churches in a rural area, and they don't even have a single building for any of those churches. And they meet under trees, which is a real challenge for them during Uganda's 2 rainy seasons. We're just at the tail end of the 2nd rainy season right now. And another student has been an associate pastor of a Pentecostal church, and he's now planting a church himself, and he was really challenged to rethink some of his theology this week when I covered signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement. So it's an exciting, encouraging, and really a humbling thing for me to teach students with this kind of commitment to the Lord. And most of them, honestly, they have very little of this world's wealth.
Well, praise the Lord for that great opportunity that he's opened for you there in Uganda with both of the schools, the Word of Life Bible Institute and the seminary operation. We're so excited about that. We've been praying for you. Great to be able to have you rehearse this wonderful report on your trips, and we'll be praying for your safety as you travel back. Some 30 hours? Wow. I'm glad it's you, and I'm glad it's not me. Well, David, last week we gave our listeners a preview of Jonathan Kahn's newest book, The Oracle. And then you gave us some background for our interaction with his previous work going back to 2012. For those who may have missed last week's program, could you take a moment and give a quick overview of who Jonathan Kahn is and why we continue to deal with his writing?
Jonathan Kahn is an ethnic Jew who grew up in a non-religious Jewish home and who says he became an atheist at 8 years old. I'm not sure how you do that, but that's what he says. He came to faith in Christ at around 20 years old after a car he was driving was hit by a train. He's currently the pastor of a messianic congregation called Beth Israel in Wayne, New Jersey, and he's known as a rabbi, even though I don't prefer that terminology because the letters to the New Testament churches never refer to spiritual leaders or teachers in the church as rabbi, but rather refer to them as elders and pastor. In his first book, The Harbinger, he tried to connect the terrorist attacks of 9/11 to the words of Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 10, which actually have nothing to do with the United States at all. And that book was published by Charisma Media, a heresy publishing powerhouse, honestly. And The Harbinger quickly became the best-selling Christian book of 2012, selling over 1 million copies in just 12 months. And because of that, he became the most interviewed man in America that year. And I challenged The Harbinger with my first book, The Harbinger Fact or Fiction, and I thoroughly documented that Jonathan Kahn had mishandled the Word of God, misrepresented historical facts, manipulated statistical data, and at one point was even dishonest in the way he used the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And all this in order to support his theories. And since then, he has published 4 other major books, including this last one, The Oracle, which came out earlier this month.
Well, let's move on to The Oracle now. Last week when we talked, you had just started reading the book, but now I know that you finished it. So what is this book about? And can you give us a brief summary of what we're going to be talking about today?
Sure. Well, Kahn has returned to the fiction format and presents his theories through a series of visions experienced by the main character, which are symbolic and obscure, and so those must be interpreted and explained by another character known as the Oracle. Now, the full title of the book, as you mentioned earlier, is The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. And it all has to do with the modern-day restoration of the nation of Israel through a series of events occurring in Jubilee years, according to the modern Hebrew calendar, beginning in 1867, then in 1917, 1967, and 2017. And, of course, he includes the events of 1948, which is a non-Jubilee year when Israel became a state. Now, in the Mosaic Law, the calendar was set up on seven-year cycles, so just as every seventh day is a Sabbath day, every seventh year was a Sabbath year known as the Shemitah. In Leviticus 25 and 27, we read that after seven of these seven-year cycles came the Jubilee year, the 50th year. So Kahn goes back to a trip that, believe it or not, Mark Twain took in 1867 to what was then known as Palestine to the world, after which he wrote a best-selling book about what he saw, which now, Jonathan Kahn claims, fulfills a prophecy in Deuteronomy 29 concerning a foreigner describing the desolation of Israel 1,800 years after God's judgment in A.D. 70. And there are other things he ties to 1867, such as the beginnings of Zionism. Then he points to events surrounding the Balfour Declaration of 1917, including the liberation of the Promised Land from the Ottoman Empire by General Allenby. He then goes forward to the Six-Day War in 1967 and the liberation of Jerusalem from Jordan, and then to 2017 when Congress passed a resolution recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And again, all these current events are supposedly the direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy according to Kahn. Then finally, he goes on to say that our redemption, the millennial kingdom, and even the eternal state are Jubilean mysteries.
David, since you've been dealing with Jonathan Kahn's books and his messages, along with radio and television interviews, for almost 8 years, before we get into some of the Oracle's content, what were your initial impressions as you read this book?
Well, I'm not a fan of Christian fiction, I think, as you know, because either it's fictional theology, which is heresy, or it's theological fiction, meaning it's intended to convey what the author believes to be true. And I don't care for the literary devices he uses, which is visions from God and the interpretation of those visions by the oracle. And the reason I don't like it is because Jonathan Kahn believes that God is revealing these things to him personally, something he has referred to as downloads, quote-unquote downloads, that he gets from God. In the case of the oracle, sometimes his theology does represent a good understanding of the Bible in certain areas. But then in other places, he just goes off the rails, especially when it comes to eschatology. For example, he says that various biblical prophecies have been fulfilled over the last 200 years, such as, he says, that the times of the Gentiles came to an end in 1967 with the capture of Jerusalem. And he also says that David's fallen tent was restored at that time. But the fact is, biblically, both of those will only be fulfilled when Christ sets up his millennial kingdom after the tribulation. And since 2012, he's refused to take a public position concerning the timing of the rapture while constantly appearing as a guest on Jim Baker's show, and Baker is post-trib, including appearing on that show to promote this book. So for someone who's considered by many to be a great prophecy teacher, I would say he's very confused about almost everything when it comes to the end times, and he's confusing other people while being heavily promoted on a number of programs that have serious problems by themselves. And I haven't had a chance to check out all of his historical claims, but he has a long track record of manipulating and misrepresenting historical and other facts. So at this point, I just don't know about those.
David, I think it'd probably be good for us right now to take a moment and talk more about the concept of the Jubilee. Will you please remind all of our listeners what the Bible actually has to say about the Jubilee, and is it a mystery? And then also, can we make the biblical connection between the Jubilee and Israel's return to the land, as Jonathan Kahn tries to do?
Well, first of all, there's nothing mysterious about the Jubilee, and this is the one thing that really bothers me about so much of Jonathan Cahn's teaching and writing. He positions himself as a revealer of mysteries, things no serious conservative Bible scholar has ever seen before in the last 2,000 years, and it's this wow factor that creates opportunities for him to promote his theories. And unfortunately, many people just seem to check their brains at the door when it comes to what he says. So again, there's nothing mysterious about this. Every Sabbath year, the Israelites would allow the land to rest with no planting or harvesting, and God provided the double harvest in the sixth year to see them through. Also, any debts were to be forgiven, and slaves and indentured servants, they were to be set free. Then in the Jubilee year, the 50th year, after seven Sabbath year cycles, there was to be no sowing or reaping. But in addition, all the land was to be returned to its original owners, and so the land was effectively only leased up to 50 years at a time, and there was never what could actually be considered a permanent sale of ancestral land. So now, Jonathan Cahn has taken this principle and supposedly found a template, or a paradigm as he calls it, and argues that the Jubilee now applies to Israel returning to its ancestral home as a nation, a process that supposedly began in 1867 and continued at 50-year intervals to 2017, as well as in 1948 when Israel became a nation. This is not a biblical concept. And what's more, he extrapolates his paradigm to be a driving force that impacts both the world and the church. This is the kind of thing he's been doing for years, and it's just unbiblical, and I would say it's irresponsible that people are eating it up.
Very interesting. As we've rehearsed what the Bible has to say about the Jubilee, and there's a lot of information there that you've just given us, David. David, as we wrap it up, I'd really like to ask you two quick questions. I think I'll do them both at one time, and then you respond if you will. First question, you said that he has applied this Jubilee mystery to the world and the church. Now, what does that actually mean? And then secondly, what is your recommendation concerning people following and supporting what Jonathan Cahn is actually doing in his writings?
To answer the first question, Jonathan Cahn talks about a dark Jubilee, quote-unquote a dark Jubilee, something he just made up completely out of thin air, which is supposedly some sort of satanic counterpart to God's Jubilee. His theory is, just as Israel is returning to its ancestral possession, so too the world is reverting to the state it was in when Israel was dispersed by judgment in AD 70 when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. So the world supposedly is becoming more pagan due to this dark Jubilee, just as God is working on the Jubilee calendar on Israel's behalf. This is just total nonsense. First of all, biblically, there's no such thing as a dark Jubilee, and the vast majority of the world has always been totally pagan. When it comes to the church, he says that it's our Jubilee in return as well, getting back to our Jewish roots. And I don't know where he's going with this, but I don't like what seems to be a Hebrew roots trajectory to this. Concerning following and supporting Jonathan Cahn, he's clearly proven himself to be not only a poor Bible teacher over the years, at best he's shown himself to be an end-time sensationalist who isn't afraid to twist things to fit his latest theories, and at worst he's a false teacher and in some cases arguably a false prophet. Now, we may catch some flack for this, but I just don't think he can be trusted, and it's sad what's happening.
Well, I do believe that this is a service to the body of Christ. You read the book. Others are allowed to read the book as well. They may have some different concepts of thinking from what Jonathan Cahn had to write, but that's their right, and we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at prophecytoday.com, and we will be able to follow up maybe with some of the questions you have in the future. Hey, David, thank you so much for all of your research as you prepare to get on that airplane and come back home. We'll pray for your journey's mercies, and we'll have another conversation while you're here in the United States next week.
Thanks for praying, Jimmy, and thanks for the opportunity.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to open up the Bible. We'll take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today.